in their families. Now they are portrayed as bumbling idiots,
buffoons,
as inept, and they are the butt of jokes of their wives and also, unbelievably, of their children. So we
yes.
started down this path in the 60s, and you can look at the many things that happened, taking prayer out of the schools, disrespect for parents, total disrespect for parents, disrespect and disregard and distrust of authority.
You got it.
And it has really overwhelmed our culture.
So
now we have a culture of denigration of religious belief and actions.
And you know, it's also all through the movies. It's bringing down the values of marriage, of sanctity of life, of the morals. I mean, unbelievable.
Once you take God out of the public square, out of media, the movies, television, out of the printed media, and you replace it with a secular culture where it's pleasure first. And we saw that in the 60s. I mean, I'm a baby boomer. And I saw that transformation in my own young adult life where you went from paying attention to the Ten Commandments and
yes.
where you heard about the Ten Commandments in the public schools and in the Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
And people lived their lives accordingly. And that was pushed so quickly aside.
Barbara, my answer to the violence in the schools is simple. Bring back prayer in the school. They're doing studies. They're trying to figure out what's causing this. Just make a study. Go back to the early 60s and see the difference between then and now. A cousin of mine, as you know well, and my partner in business, wrote a song, A Time in America. And that song is very appropriate for what is happening today.
Yes, it absolutely is. I have that song also.
Yes,
it's
I know
wonderful.
You know him.
Yes, it's exactly right. And if we could get prayer into our schools, not only would that bring prayer into our children's lives every day, but think of the forces that would have to align themselves in favor of prayer in order to do that. You're talking about a cultural shift.
Yeah.
You're talking about shifting the culture back to what it was when we began this country and what our founders knew we needed to maintain everyone's freedom. We needed a moral citizenry. But the courts have misinterpreted the First Amendment and have taken religion as an intrusion into any part of our life outside of the four walls of the church. And that's what we're fighting right now. That's what we're fighting with the Hobby Lobby case before the Supreme Court. And I would ask your readers to please pray, and beseech heaven that we get a good opinion from the Supreme Court justices that will tell us that these private business owners do not give up their freedom of religion when they go into business and provide jobs for people, that they are not forced to compromise their religious beliefs by providing products and services that their consciences tell them they cannot do.
Absolutely, and that's what the battle is about. The Supreme Court made a decision that that the Obamacare law is okay because it's tax, but it's not tax. It's an invasion of freedom, and it's unbelievable that it could get by the Supreme Court that way.
Yes, and that's why we're praying so hard that the Supreme Court justices will look at the Health and Human Services mandate portion of Obamacare and find that it is truly heinous and it is a direct denial of religious freedom and that it's an undue burden on the religious freedom of all Americans and that is a question not of contraception or abortion. That is a question of religious freedom.
That's right.
Of any religious group and any faith being able to live out their beliefs in their daily lives, which is what religious freedom is all about, which is why we've been so proud of it in this country, which is why we have prospered in this country. And you only need look around the world now and you see different sects and different religions torturing, murdering, killing others. And we've never had that kind of fight fighting and dissension in our country, because our founders knew each man must be free to follow his conscience and answer to his God, and government should stay out of the church, but certainly do not think that you should keep God out of our government.
And it's not a Catholic issue. It's a religion issue.
It's a righteous issue.
It's a right. Our Constitution says we have the God-given right. And it's not the congressional given right.
Yeah, it's in our Constitution.
That's right. The job of government is to protect that freedom. The job of government is to protect all of our God-given freedoms.
Yes.
And our founders stated that in our opening documents. And those documents were wonderfully written to do just that, to limit the role of government to the basic support of the individual rights, including freedom of conscience.
Barbara, I have a question, if you don't mind, very quickly. You're, as I see it, an evangelist for religious freedom. You're a proponent of religious freedom. And what's your mission statement concerning religious freedom?
Okay, our mission statement is to inform all generations of Americans about our religious freedom, God-given and constitutionally protected, about the source of our religious freedom, about how rare it is in this world, and about how quickly it can be lost. And we educate and we advocate about that on a nonpartisan basis so that freedom can be preserved and maintained for generations to come.
You know, Barbara, there's a song that I have ready to play, and it really builds very much on what you are doing. And it's written by Palmer Pascal, and it's something that was around a while back. Palmer, unfortunately, has died, but it's standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us.
Lifting by his holy name, marching. marching onward in his power, with the saints his cross proclaim. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us, to believers in his glory, righteous armies, noble chorus. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who told the story.
I sang that on the Mayflower when I was coming over.
You probably?
Oh, yes. And we were all standing there singing that. We came from a country that didn't recognize our rights.
Yeah, right.
And we wanted our religious freedom as pilgrims. And we're still in the same boat.
Yeah.
It's a Mayflower boat, but you're leading us, Barbara. You're leading us.
Thank you so much. That song is wonderful. We feel very much like we're standing on the shoulders of those who came before us, you know, that we're standing there thankful for the gift of freedom of conscience from God, and that we have a heavy burden to maintain the freedoms that our founders and the many people who fought and died since then have preserved for us.
That's right.
And in fact, when I tell people you've lost that freedom of religion, it's difficult for me to say those words. It's even more difficult because so many people don't understand it. But in truth, it is gone. Our freedom of religion is gone. If the government can come to any American and say, you must provide this service which is against your conscience, or you must eat this food that is against your conscience, or you must work on a certain day that you hold holy, you must work on that day. The government can tell people anything. It's only a matter of then where the government decides to stop infringing and denying your religious freedom. You have lost that freedom to decide. Your conscience decisions are no longer your own. So certainly we're standing on shoulders, and we have to stand very strong.
It's the same battle that Martin Luther King fought for the civil rights of people of color. And now it's the same thing for religious freedom for people who believe in God.
Absolutely. By the way, Barbara, when John said he was on the Mayflower singing that song, he wasn't kidding. He's that old. I just want you to know that.
Barbara, he's older than I am. He's older than I am.
I'm a little on the old side, too, by the way. Barbara,
a little.
What is the most egregious a loss of religious freedom that we are experiencing today in our country? I want our listeners to be aware of it. I want our listeners to say, hey, wait, they're right. We lost it. What would you say?
I could go through dozens of examples of really outrageous losses of religious freedom. But the one that the USCCB is focused on right now, and you know the bishops have been in New Orleans meeting, and at that point they did discuss religious liberty. And they are continuing their efforts to focus on religious liberty, on educating about the denial of religious liberty. And they're focusing on the Health and Human Services mandate, and that is a hugely egregious, far-reaching denial. It's obvious, it's public, it's deliberate, it's direct. What that mandate says is that almost all employers must provide as part of their health insurance contraception, abortion-inducing drugs, and sterilization to their employees. And when immediately Cardinal Dolan and the USCCB protested this when the HHS mandate was signed, when they protested it, the government said, oh, we will issue an accommodation. So the church said, we are grateful for that. The leaders of our church said, we're waiting to see what it is. They came out with an accommodation that was not an accommodation. And when the church told them that, months later, a judge forced them to come out with another accommodation. That second accommodation actually made some parts of the mandate worse. So this mandate would say, for example, that Hobby Lobby, who has been, you know, an incredibly successful business run by not Catholics, but run by people who believe that life begins at contraception, it would force them to provide those abortion-inducing drugs for their employees. And it would also force, for example, the Little Sisters of the Poor to provide those things for their employees. It would force our Catholic hospitals, our Catholic universities, Catholic charities to provide those things in their health care. The fine for not providing that is $100 per day per employee.
Yes.
That would quickly bankrupt our Catholic institutions, our Catholic hospitals. The Little Sisters of the Poor would be driven from their role, from their mission in life to help the very poor elderly. So that is the most egregious and direct and obvious denial
Absolutely.
Of religious freedom.
And Barbara, my thought is, how dare them say that we as Catholics and our Catholic institutions must support abortion? How dare them say that? And one more thing. If Obamacare was so great, why doesn't Congress belong to Obamacare? Why doesn't the politicians belong to Obamacare? Why is it us that have to have Obamacare?
Well, I tell you one thing. I if you agree that the government really should be providing all these sexual services, why don't they include prostitution? If I want to have a prostitute, why can't that be under my medical care? I mean, I need to have some relief here.
I never heard of that one.
Well, I mean, I can push it to the ridiculous,
yes,
really.
I'm sure.
Because once you do, and you know what? It's very healthy for me to have porn. Why don't I have porn on my computer at home? And can't you give that to me? You know, where do you stop?
Yes.
That's the question.
Oh, that's a great point, Palmer.
Where do you draw the
Palmer,
line?
Palmer, your age shows your wisdom. That's a great point.
and his age shows the fact that he has seen a government that has grown in its reach and its intrusion in our lives to where it is now intruding in our religious freedom, in our basic relationship between God and our conscience.
That's right. Yeah.
And I met a man who had a business for years in China, and he was talking about government. And he said they have a saying in China that when the government owns it, no one owns it. And when no one owns it, no one cares. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that right now in our government with the VA, with the Veterans Hospital.
Sure.
The buck doesn't stop at any particular person. No one cares. The responsibility is so diffuse.
What buck? There is no buck.
Yes. So our founders knew this. They said the government that is closest to the people serves best. And the church says that, too. The church says the principle of subsidiarity should rule, and that means that those closest to the people in need take care of them. That's why our parish ministries are so important, and that's another reason why this HHS mandate is so damaging, because it takes away our freedom to serve. And the bishops and Bishop Murphy this week have talked about that if we have these fines and if our institutions now go out of business, are bankrupt, so that we're confined to freedom of worship within the four walls of our church, we lose our freedom to serve. We lose our freedom to serve the poor. We lose our freedom to serve the sick, to serve the needy, and we are confined, and all of that help that we now give to the people of our country is gone. It is gone. It is taken away from us. And it's taken away from us by an overreaching government regulation, not a law that was ever debated, proposed, and voted on by those who are answerable to the voters. None of that. It doesn't have any politician's name on it. It is the Health and Human Services regulation, which has the power of a crushing law, because the IRS will enforce those fines on our Catholic organizations and institutions.
And you are working through the Catholics for Religious Freedom to support the core challenges for the mandates in this law and in their regulations so that we can start to turn it back. One of the comedians on television talking about taking under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, Pledge of Allegiance to the United States and the nation for which it stands, one nation, and he says under Canada and above Mexico. Now, isn't that ridiculous?
No.
And it's just a mockery of God.
Absolutely.
That's a sign of where our culture is.
That's right.
That a comedian could say that and think that it would be acceptable. You know, when you were a child, could a comedian have said that? No.
No.
When
would
I
he
was
think
a child,
of it?
No.
He wouldn't even think of it.
Right. And so we're really, as we're working here to restore and preserve religious freedom, it is a fight to change the culture.
You got
and
it.
In order to do that, what we see is that not only in Catholics for Freedom of Religion, not only are we going into parishes and working with people who want to do this within their parish, want to educate and preserve religious freedom, but we're looking at our students. How can we educate our students so that from early on, just as students have become wonderful, wonderful advocates for right to life, we need our students to understand what their religious freedom really is and that what losing it will mean to them and to their children and their grandchildren. So this year, Catholics for Freedom of Religion sponsored an art contest and a speech contest with themes of religious freedom. And at the Fortnite rally, the Rally for Religious Freedom, on June 28th at St. John the Baptist High School in the auditorium, 10 in the morning, we will have 6 of those students read their speeches on religious freedom, and 13 of those students will display their artwork. So the keynote speaker that day will be Bishop Murphy, and then Bishop Andrzej will speak. We know he grew up in Poland under an oppressive government. He will speak. The general counsel for the diocese, Tom Renker, will speak about the latest regulation and the Supreme Court situation, because by then we expect to have a ruling on the Hobby Lobby and Conestoga issue. So at that point, we're highlighting the fact that we need to educate and inform and basically arm our children with the knowledge and the tools to defend religious freedom. It has
Absolutely.
To be all generations of Catholics
Barbara,
that understand this.
Our listeners are listening, and I just get a feeling they're just starting to get the gist of what's going on with this religious freedom thing. What can they do as just ordinary citizens of the United States of America? I mean, you're going around talking all over the country to bishops' conferences and all and trying to get the children involved and stuff. But what can us ordinary laymen do in order to preserve our religious freedom? There must be something we can do.
I'm so glad you asked that. Because what every person can do is have faith in God and have faith in yourself, because you are a powerful, powerful person. And if you educate yourself about what is truly meant by religious freedom, and I didn't understand that till I started this work, what is truly meant by the religious freedom that we have in this country, how broad and how sweeping that religious freedom is. It is intended to dwarf so many of the wishes and desires and intentions of government, because we are not to be forced to compromise our conscience. So if people start to study and understand that and read it, and there are materials everywhere in your library, on the internet, very easy to read about the history of religious freedom in this country. Educate ourselves. When we educate ourselves about that, and then we listen to what the clergy, to what the popes and Cardinal Dolan and the bishops, and Bishop Murphy is a champion for religious freedom, when we listen to what they are saying and we understand the role of the laity in our church to preserve religious freedom, then we become, each of us, defenders of religious freedom. Then we will take this into every area of our lives, into conversations we have with our friends and our families, Catholics, other faiths, and so forth. We'll take it into the culture, no, I will not go to this movie because this movie is derisive of religion. This movie is anti-God. This movie is anti-family. I will not watch that television show, and I'll tell my family and my grandchildren why I will not watch that show and why I will not buy the products that are paid to advertise that show. And further, that in every area of my life, I want my life, my home, to reflect freedom of religion, that I am practicing my freedom of religion. And then I also want my society and my government to reflect the true morals that our founders knew were the only things that would protect the freedoms that we have. And we all know how to be good and faithful citizens and how to go into our government and make clear what our priorities are and what our values are, and to have a robust voice in those public conversations.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine in those conversations, as you were saying, about abortion, about the government now with this new health care law, what is it, 480,000 more abortions? the Susan B. Anthony group did the research. It's going to increase the number of abortions immensely, unthinkable.
Well, you know, I very seldom would talk about a book by anyone, but Rush Limbaugh has done a book on the Pilgrims. I'm here right back to my Mayflower days, right?
Yeah.
Which
really showing really the age today there, Palmer.
But really restates the history that's not taught in school about where these freedoms, why the people did what they did, and where these freedoms came. And it's written for people on the fifth and sixth grade level. I would love to see the Catholics for Religious Freedom endorse it. Because I think that, and have families read it at home so that we can change the direction of what the future for our children and grandchildren is going
to
be.
Yes, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, the point I was trying to lead to and a point that I was trying to bring out is that the power is within us through prayer, but also within us through the power of voting. Why should we vote for people that are against our righteous beliefs? Why should we vote for people that say the heck with the Catholic and the religious freedoms, the heck with the Constitution? We can do something, and we must do something, because it's going to get out of hand more so than it is now.
It's out of hand already.
You're absolutely right, and people don't understand the Constitution. A friend of mine started a group called As a Mom, and it's an internet website, and they have a couple of million people who visit and belong to that website. And the As a Mom website just started a campaign, the Constitution, read it, save it. And that's what people need to do. Once you read the Constitution and you read about our founders, they're not difficult documents, but you'll quickly become overwhelmed with the moral foundation that our founders lived their lives based on, that moral foundation, and founded our country based on that moral foundation. And when people find that out and start to learn that, they develop a real passion to do just what you're saying, to defend their freedoms, to defend their religious freedoms, and all their freedoms, because those five freedoms in our First Amendment are inextricably entwined. And boy, was that a tongue twister, and I said it correctly.
You did well.
You did well, Barbara. You did very well.
Freedom of religion,
unbelievable.
And speech, and the press, and freedom of redress, and freedom of assembly, those are all basic to freedom of religion. So our founders put them together to keep them strong and inseparable, and make sure that government did not come in and do what the government is doing right now. When you have a student, for example, in a school, and this happens every year, where valedictorians are told you cannot speak about your faith, you cannot pray as part of your speech, they are denied their freedom of speech, they are denied their freedom of religion. Now they're speaking in front of an assembly, but what can they say? The government has told them what they cannot say, and so forth. And that's how it goes, which, by the way, is completely incorrect, and that's one of our big goals with Catholics for Freedom of Religion, is to inform every student and parent in the Diocese of Rockville Center of the freedoms of children in our public schools. And we have a wonderful little pamphlet called Free to Speak. And we'll bring those with us to your conference and have those available. And they will be given out in the schools and in the religious ed classes. It's a little pamphlet, but it tells the seven basic freedoms of students in our public schools. You are free to pray. You are free to speak about God in your schoolwork, in your homework, in your classwork. You are free to read the Bible and other religious materials during any free reading period.
We're going to have to move on to other things, but I just want to close with a suggestion. Telecare goes into 8 million homes, and there's no reason in the world why it can't make a commercial that would strike to the families in terms of you lose this freedom. And
I have
make
to
it
interrupt
harsh.
You there. Telecare is doing wonderful Fortnite minutes.
Good.
Many things. They're doing wonderful things for Fortnite. People should tune into Telecare. They'll get a lot of information. Bishop Murphy will be reading some of these Fortnite minutes. Bishop Anjay, Father Arcolio, some of our organizers, some students. Telecare is a wonderful,
I wasn't putting Telecare
supporter.
Down. I was just saying I'd like to see shocking commercials that would point out what is life going to be like without these freedoms.
Yeah. By the way, we love Telecare. They're very dear to our hearts. They really are.
And, sure. I just had that was one note I had made about today. Two notes I had made to talk about the Telecare Fortnite
wonderful.
For Freedom Minutes and to mention what a wonderful blessing we have in this diocese that Bishop Murphy supports freedom of religion as ardently and zealously as he does.
Yes, and I see him by your side a lot whenever you're doing talks and stuff, so he's right there with you guys.
Barbara, we have to move on with a couple of other segments, but don't leave.
Yeah,
don't
stay
leave.
On, Barbara.
Stay with us.
Okay, we just
got
to
right.
We want to do the spiritual reflection for the week, and then we also would like to get our saint of the weekend.
Yes,
and
then
pray for
saint.
Awakening our listeners to the need for religious freedom. So we'll put a little music quietly on.
Lowly?
Oh, yes. But I'm reading first, so I'm
oh,
loud.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. It's okay if it drowned you out.
And our anonymous writer
yes.
has given us a wonderful reflection, and he starts with, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And what's remarkable in my meditation today, that's the piece I picked out, and so it's what Tony wrote down for today's program.
To show it, yeah.
And this is what it's based on, 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 13. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that the Trinity is one. We do not confess to three gods, but one God in three persons, the consubstantial Trinity. The divine persons do not share the one divinity among themselves, but each of them is God, whole and entire. The Father is that which the Son is, the Son that which the Father is, the Father and the Son that which the Holy Spirit is, that is, by nature, one God. This basic mystery of the faith is revealed to us by God to help us appreciate the nature of God as pure love, thus implying the power of human beings may have as they are baptized into this pure outpouring of love, who is God. The fruitfulness of divine love is the model and the goal of all human loving, patterned after the God we wish to adore, love, and serve with all our lives. Isn't that what we've been talking about with religious freedom?
Yes.
We want to be free to exercise this ability to love God as we wish, to love Him and to serve Him in all of our lives.
Absolutely. Wonderful read.
Well, thank you. What is this? Who's the saint?
saint is going to be Saint Anthony of Padua.
Okay.
And we celebrated his feast day yesterday. And I could honestly say that I was compelled to celebrate Saint Anthony. As a matter of fact, I can fill a room up with my relatives that are named Anthony, with my grandchildren that are named Anthony, and my distant relatives. So for all those of you who are named Anthony, this is for you. By the way, I bought Saint Anthony's bread for my grandchildren and my sons that are named Anthony.
Is he still making bread?
Yeah, we're still getting it. Yes, we're still getting it. So who is this Saint Anthony? A little strange. My focus is to tell our audience something about Saint Anthony that maybe they didn't know. Like, he is the patron saint of Italy. But guess what? He wasn't born in Italy. Did you know that, Palmer?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure you
did. I thought all Anthony's came from Italy. I didn't know
that. No, he was born in Portugal.
Ah.
The gospel calls us to leave everything and to follow Christ. And that was the rule of Anthony's life. Over and over again, God called him to something new in his plan, like he does to you, Palmer. And he does to me, and I'm sure he does to Barbara. Every time Anthony responded with renewed zeal and self-sacrificing to serve the Lord Jesus more completely.
Amen.
His journey as the servant of God began as a very young man when he decided to join the Australians in Lisbon, giving up a future of wealth and power to be a servant of God. Later, when the bodies of the first Franciscans, martyrs, went through the Portuguese city where he was stationed, he was again filled with an intense longing to be one of those closest to Jesus himself, those who die for the good news. So Anthony entered the Franciscan order and set out to preach to the Moors, but an illness prevented him from achieving that goal. He went to Italy and was stationed in a small hermitage where he spent most of his time praying, reading the scriptures, and doing menial tasks. That was his chore, doing menial tasks, until one day God called him again at an ordination where no one was prepared to speak. They forgot to ask someone to speak. So the humble, obedient Anthony hesitantly accepted the task. The years of searching for Jesus in prayer and reading sacred scriptures and of serving him in poverty, chastity, and obedience had prepared Anthony to allow the Spirit to use his talents. Anthony's sermon was astounding to those who expected just a blah talk, you know, like they sometimes expect when you and I talk.
I know. We do very well with blah.
We're going to astound them. Yeah. He was recognized as a great man of prayer thereafter, a great scripture and theology scholar. Anthony became the first friar to teach theology to the other friars. Soon he was called to the post to preach in France. Using his profound knowledge of scripture and theology to convert and reassure those who had been misled by their denial of Christ's divinity and of his sacraments and of his call to all of us to join him. After he led the friars in northern Italy for 3 years, he made his headquarters in the city of Padua. He resumed his preaching and began writing sermons, notes to help other preachers. Anthony should be the patron saint of those who find their lives completely uprooted and set in new and unexpected directions. Weren't the disciples in that category?
Isn't that what we're talking like all about saints, on this program, too?
Like all saints, he is a perfect example of turning one's life completely over to Christ, doing his work, his deeds, like Barbara is doing.
That's right.
God did with Anthony as God pleased, and what God pleased was a life of spiritual power and brilliance that still attracts admiration today. he whom popular devotion has nominated as a finder of the lost objects, found himself by losing himself totally to the providence of God. And by the way, this patron saint of lost objects came about by one day, one of the friars who just joined was thinking of leaving and stole Anthony's prayer book. And Anthony prayed and prayed and prayed, and the friar had a change of heart and returned the prayer book to St. Anthony. Mm-hmm. And thus he is known the saint, the patron saint of lost objects. But I have to tell you, if I have another few minutes, there were miracles that he performed. He performed the conversion of a cruel tyrant who had men killed just by mentioning the name of God. Anthony approached and reapproached him. The gods waited for Anthony so they could kill him. Instead, that tyrant prostrated himself before St. Anthony, confessed his sins, and reformed his ways. He even told his gods what he saw, that St. Anthony's face showed him the difference of what is hell and what is divine splendor. Mm. And this goes on. He had a miracle in the rain.
I wanted to add one thing to that. Maybe St. Anthony should be the patron saint for those who are looking to reestablish and find their religious freedoms.
Absolutely. And why not? There are the dots that are being connected.
Sure.
With today's show and St. Anthony.
Yeah, we want to recover what's lost.
He has many miracles. Yeah. And next time we do St. Anthony, we're going to go over them. But I want you to know, every time I lose something, I go to Sant' Antonio. And you know what? I find it.
So when we do our prayer time in a few moments, we ask God to ask St. Anthony to intercede for the Catholics, for religious freedom. Why not?
Absolutely. Why not, Paul?
What do you think, Barbara?
I think that that's so important, and we can use that intercession, certainly.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm so happy and so glad that it was given to me that I should do St. Anthony today, because I see...
Only your name's sake anyway.
He's connecting all the dots. Yeah. And my relatives would be a little upset if I didn't, I guess. But don't worry, I'll be there tomorrow with St. Anthony's bread. Okay, John.
Okay. Barbara, we also pray for healing every time we do a program. And I've put some music behind each time we pray. It usually comes from Healed by Love by Denny Bouchard. It's a wonderful album. And we'd like you to join us to pray for our listeners, that they get the message, that they understand that their freedoms are in danger. And we ask them to place their lives in God's hands so that they learn what it is God is going to call them to do. He called Anthony as a young person to speak when there were no speakers. And we're asking our listeners, ask God what he wants you to do with this.
I just want to make one quick mention. The relics of St. Anthony will be displayed at St. Catherine of Siena's Church tomorrow.
Good.
After Masses. And Barbara, Bishop Murphy, is going to do the 11 o'clock Mass there in honor of St. Anthony and his relics. So I'd just like the listeners to know.
When you see the bishop, I won't be there tomorrow, but would you please tell him St. Anthony should head up the saints who are fighting for religious freedom.
That's a good
freedom.
Idea.
Why not?
I will. I will.
All right. Okay, maybe that's what I'm called to say today. I don't know.
Okay.
And Jesus, we ask you to bless Barbara with good health as she continues moving forward with Bishop Murphy as her leader to try and cut off the death that's coming to religious freedom. A good part of it's already here. And Barbara, we also pray for our listeners who need healing from so many illnesses that they may have. So, Anthony, why don't you start that prayer?
Dear Jesus, we have here before you a a whole bunch of petitions that are sent to us from our radio listeners. They range from illnesses to depression to poverty and mental illness. So many discerns. So Jesus, we ask that you stay by their side and you help them and you guide them and you hold their hand and you cure them if it be your wish. But most importantly, you let them know that you are not only their best friend, but you are truly their big brother. And so we give you thanks and praise and glory. We thank you for allowing us to do this show every Saturday. We thank you for our guests. We thank you for Barbara. I thank you for John Palmer. And I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And
I
Barbara,
love you.
If
we
you,
love you.
If
thank
you
Jesus.
Have a prayer you want to offer for religious freedom, maybe you would like to say that now, if you have something on your heart to say.
I do, as a matter of fact. I would like to pray for religious freedom. We pray to a Mary Immaculate, patroness of the United States.
Amen.
Blessed Mother Mary, we place our country in your care, in the sure hands that protected the child Jesus. Teach us to imitate Jesus as you did, and always to follow him with your courage, so that religious liberty, his gift to all mankind, may be preserved throughout this land. Amen.
Amen. And Jesus, I know you've led me to put this last song on as a way of concluding the program. It's Michael Crawford, and it's what I pray for all of our listeners as they get on board fighting for religious freedom. The song is, I'll Walk with God. And that's what we would love, besides standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Let's walk with God for preservation of religious freedom. Barbara, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Barbara.
What an important issue you brought to our listeners. Thank you again.
It was a pleasure.
We
it was my
you,
honor
we'll
to
you
be your
week.
Guest.
We're
thank
forward
you.
To it.
And listeners, we'll be back next week. And yes, even though we're going to bilocate, we're going to be on record here with a bishop and with Al Barbarino, but we're also going to be at Kellenberg High School. Join us there, 8:30 next Saturday at Kellenberg. If you haven't gotten your ticket, don't get left out.
It's going to be a great conference. You can do both. You can listen to your show, and we could come to the conference.
His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no though eyes grow dim, there is no fear when I'm near to him. I'll lean on him forever, and he'll forsake me never. He strong.